Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Job Ready podcast and video series. My name is Dane Sharp, I'm your host, and my guest for this episode is Grant Sherson, Partnerships Executive at Commission Factory.
Please note that the opinions of guests are their own and not those of the companies they have worked for.
G'day Grant, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Dream Job Ready. Stoked to have you on, mate, and I really look forward to kind of diving into your career and getting some takes and some advice from you on, you know, how to really start your career for students and how to end up getting a dream job for a company like Commission Factory.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me on your podcast, man. I've never done this before. It's exciting. So I've been with Commission Factory 4 years. When I first started, I landed in a accounts role right after uni, and sort of 2 months into that, management saw a skill in me that didn't lend to my experience, which was in partnerships and sales. So I moved over to that role, and for the last sort of three and a half years, I've been working in partnerships for small, medium enterprise businesses, onboarding clients to the network, and starting affiliate programs with them. It's been challenging at some points, but look, I'm stoked to be at that company and in the role. It's rewarding, and you meet fantastic people and brands. So I'm really enjoying it.
Can I ask you how you ended up there originally? Like, did you get recruited? Did you apply for the job? Did you know someone in there that snuck you in the back door?
Look, if I'm honest, it was probably the last business that I applied to once I finished uni. Cutting a long story short, I was in a role in broadcast media and I just finished my degree and I was desperate for something new. And I was actually applying all over Sydney like you do when you finish university. You apply. And I think I probably had about 15 interviews in Sydney. And then on the day before I graduated, I got a call from a company that I'd put a resume through to, and it was Commission Factory. And they said, do you want to come up for an interview? And here's me thinking, oh God, this is going to be number 16 job interview that I'm going to fail. I prepared for it as well as I could. I got a definition of affiliate marketing off Wikipedia.
Nice.
And walked into the meeting room with two coworkers and had the interview. And to this day, they still say it was the worst description of affiliate marketing they've ever heard.
Hopefully you've gone and changed the Wikipedia definition now, have you? You guys can write it.
I probably should. I tried to remember it. But look, the next day they rang me and said that you've got the job. And it wasn't just the job itself that appealed to me. It was the environment that they told us about, that's what they sold me to, you know, the work environment, when they finish work, what they like to do. The general culture of the company was what really sold me. And that's how I got there, really. And now that I'm in it, like, I plan to stay for as long as I can because I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's awesome, mate. And, you know, talk to me about that, I guess, graduate to full-time job transition, because I saw on the news last night, and I'm just going to read this because I wrote it down and tweeted it. ABC Late News mentioned that in 2019, 28% of graduates did not get a full-time job within the first 4 months after they graduated. And that's up from only about 15% back in 2008, which was sort of off the last kind of huge global crisis. So, you know, those aren't great stats. 28% of graduates not getting a full-time job. Hopefully some of those have gone traveling and, you know, lying on a beach and don't want a job, but, you know, heavy stats. You know, talk about, it's a real struggle, right? It's not easy. It's not like you finish your degree, you get your piece of paper and boom, you're in the door. It's hard work.
No, it's not, man. And like, you've really got to question, like, how hard are they really trying to get these jobs? I mean, I sent so many resumes out to so many companies in Sydney, and I went to like job interviews and made an absolute fool of myself in front of managers when they were asking me about different marketing. You've got to put the hard yards in, you know. Don't just finish uni and be like, right, here's five potential jobs, here's my resume. If I don't get them, well, give up. You just have to plug it. You have to keep just sending your resume out everywhere. And if I were to go back and do it again, I wouldn't just use resumes. I'd be utilizing things like LinkedIn, get a LinkedIn profile, reach out to CEOs, managers, whatever sort of position within a role you want, talk to them on there. And I reckon that's the loophole how to get into jobs these days, not just resume sending, man, because, you know, I've seen it before. Resumes come in and some of them are like, if it's badly written, then it's just going to get passed on.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, in regards to reaching out to people, as you said, and even, you know, fronting up at an interview, it is daunting sometimes, right? Like, you know, everyone's got a slightly different personality. You got, you know, introverts, extroverts. You got people that are, you know, used to networking, maybe have been kind of brought up that way or had that opportunity to have that experience, you know, in their schooling, versus others that, you know, want to get somewhere but maybe haven't had that chance yet. You know, have you got any tips or any insights on overcoming that fear and overcoming the nerves and just giving it a crack and not being worried about the no that might be there or the yes that might be as well?
Yeah, look, man, I'm an anxious person. Like, I overthink lots of things. And, you know, my manager in my role even, like, say that now. When it comes to doing my job, I get anxious about not having the right answer for someone. Like, particularly in a sales or partnerships role, if you're bringing on new business and someone asks you a question, you want to have the right answer. But look, that's just the way that I think about it. Like, we're all humans, you know, we're not always going to have the answer. I think if it comes back to doing, like, if you're applying for a job, just learn as much as you can about the company. Do practice interview questions. And it doesn't hurt to ask the people who are going to interview you, do you have any questions that you might be asking, any information? Preparation is key for any sort of meeting, particularly a job interview, man. If you go in and you've got some understanding of who you're talking to about the business, the nerves are going to drop. But at the end of the day, don't feel bad to go into a meeting because you're nervous, because like everyone is, man. And I think that if, you know, if you're one of these people that are like, oh, I'm never nervous, then, you know, you're probably full of crap. So I wouldn't worry about it too much, man. I'm 4 years into my job and I still get nervous. I'm nervous now.
Oh, mate, relax, have a sip of water, you'll be fine with me. I think there's a couple of really good pieces of advice in there, mate. You know, preparation, 100% nailed that, I reckon. It's not easy to do and it's not an equal share every time you go to an interview or go to a job opportunity, but you know, you're definitely right. Just knowing at least where you stand, what you want to get out of this role, what you're looking for, and hopefully having the, you know, the guts to be honest about it, having that kind of preparation is key, both from going and being an interviewee, but also from an interviewer. You know, some of my worst interviews that I've done with candidates is when I potentially haven't been as prepared as I should have been. So I think that's super key. And then the other one, you know, there's a lot of cliches thrown around and you sort of dismiss them. I think I did a bunch of times when I was young about, you know, every no gets you closer to a yes. And, you know, if you don't ask, you won't know if it's a no or a yes and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's true, mate. Like there must be some billionaire CEOs out there that have been knocked back from dozens, hundreds of jobs that, you know, you never hear about. And I think that's the key thing for anyone to think about is, you know, no one apart from you and that person is going to know if you didn't get that job. And what does it matter anyway, right? Like, on to the next one.
Yeah. And if you're totally right about that. Like, every successful person has had a no or been knocked back, or, you know, they may have been fired. They may have lost their jobs. Like, no one, I don't think you'll go out and talk to any level-headed successful person today and they'll say that, like, everything has been smooth sailing for me. There's no way. You're always going to get bumps in the road. And I think it's those bumps that actually make you more confident. You know, like, you can use what you may have failed in one interview as something to build on in your next interview. I didn't prepare enough for this one. This is what I'm going to do for this one. And you can build on your strengths. And that's definitely the way to do it. But man, like, everyone's going to get knocked back. I mean, I was knocked back, I reckon, at least 15 times that.
And here you are, get back up. And I think, you know, back to that point about preparation you made, I think beyond just sort of knowing and kind of, you know, kind of prepping some direction for your answers, et cetera, the other thing that I think, you know, really hits home for me now, and I wish I'd probably heard it earlier, it's already come out in a few interviews I've done in this podcast series, is really around kind of showing me. And that doesn't necessarily mean you need to build a 100-page business plan for a company you're going to interview or anything ridiculous like that, but just at least going and experiencing the product or the service or the company that you're applying for as a basis is, I think, a necessity. I've had people that I've interviewed for jobs and they haven't even worn that product or been into that restaurant or you know, used that piece of service that I was working for, and I was kind of like, come on, like, you're coming in for a job, you know, humor me and give it a crack once, right? So
yeah.
One thing I liked about what you said earlier around, you know, getting the job initially, you said you weren't, you know, I guess an experienced or a well-versed in the world of Commission Factory. But one thing I'm sure of is you would have had the chance to work already with partners that you have known for a while, you know, businesses and companies that you're well aware of. And I think that's something interesting to think about when you're starting a new role with a company. And certainly new startups today are a great example. They may not have a huge you know, presence in the world yet. You know, it might be all opportunity rather than history, but you know, the connections and the partnerships and the relationships with other companies must be great. You know, what are some of the cool companies you're getting the chance to work with?
Oh man, we've got over 650 advertisers at the moment. I mean, you name it. Whether it's fashion. I mean, when I first started in sales, I remember my manager saying to me, you know, we're going to start prospecting, try and get in touch with the brand. And I think I got in touch with Armani within 2 weeks of being in the role and scored a meeting. And that scared the crap out of me. But, you know, that was within 2 weeks of the role, like, I was going to a meeting with my manager with Armani. Coupled with that, you know, you've got the surf brands, Rip Curl, Quicksilver, Deus Ex Machina. You've got, you know, fast fashion brands, Chopo. You've got, like, you know, homewares, department stores. Like, you name it. And I can pretty much guarantee you that, like, most of them are on our network. And that's one of the cool parts about it, is being able to not only go and do business with these really well-known brands, but also build the relationships with the people at these businesses. I think that's definitely one of the cool parts of the job. I like building relationships with people. And, you know, when you can come home and say, oh, you know, I talked to Quicksilver today, or, you know, I've got a meeting with ASICS or something like that. It's, I don't know, it's the rewarding part of the job. And I think even more rewarding is when this company decides to work with you as a result of the work you've done. And when that happens, yeah, you know, the whole company congratulates you, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's a bonus factor. Yes, same as me right now. I'm working with Groupon, and you know, I love working with the brand. It's a great company, but I also get to work with other partners, which, you know, kind of broadens my job, you know, and kind of makes it a deeper job. You know, I get to kind of branch out and almost have, you know, multiple jobs within one. Commission Factory is obviously something, you know, a company that Groupon works with. I linked up my wife's business, Salty Crush, with Commission Factory very early. Yep. You know, I really think the affiliate marketing industry is still just scratching the surface globally. And I think it's an exciting place to be at, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to chat with you. You know, you're in there right now. You've been in there for a couple of years. And I think, you know, you probably agree you're only just getting started, and you know, the industry's only just getting started. You know, what sell would you give someone that's, you know, finishing a degree or finishing some studies or just looking for a career change to move over into that kind of world of affiliate marketing, affiliate sales, and partner marketing?
It's relatively small within marketing at the moment, as I think within Australia, it's only had like a 10-year presence or so. For a long time, a lot of people didn't really understand it. They thought that it was just, you know, create a coupon and make a discount for your program and that's it. It's growing so much today. And from when I started, affiliates were like, you're looking at, you know, your blogger or your content site or an influencer that's going to promote your brand to drive sales. It's grown so much now. You know, we're working with partnerships like Groupon, for one, huge. Your cashback websites, cash rewards and shopback. Loyalty programs like Qantas Points More, Velocity Points More. It's growing so much and it's going to keep growing. And I think that's one of the exciting parts about it. Anyone who wants to jump into a role in an environment with an industry that's going to continually grow and it's going to grow your knowledge as well, I think affiliate marketing is definitely one.
And I think, you know, especially innovation and invention as well, I think there's a stack of stuff that I think hasn't been invented and hasn't been created yet within partner marketing, affiliate marketing, you know, partner sales, etc. And I think that's the bit that excites me. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, there's sort of the obvious hardcore we'll link out, send someone to you, take a clip, get a discount kind of setup, you know, which is the bread and butter part of it. But I think, and one thing I really think coming off the back, and once we get out of this whole isolation world and, you know, past COVID-19, et cetera, and, you know, one thing that's coming out of that is the need to work together better, you know, as humanity, but also companies. I think that partner networking is so crucial. And I've always thought it. I've always been so much more inclined to want to call something a partnership than a sponsorship. You know, when I've worked in roles with McDonald's and eBay and Rip Curl and Under Armour, you know, I sort of hate just paying for something and getting a logo on something and calling it a sponsorship. Like, I want to work with that company and with those people and those companies' customers to actually create something interesting or exciting or engaging. So let's talk about schooling, mate. You know, you did a couple of different things at TAFE and then eventually went on to get a degree at uni. Over a few years. Do you want to talk to me about where your headspace was, I guess, leaving high school and kind of
headspace?
You know, what were you thinking as you undertook the launch into adulthood and trying to be a grown up, I suppose, at this point?
I left high school and I got offered to go to NIDA, which is I don't know what stands for, National Institute of Drama or something like that. But I decided not to, and I dropped out and went to TAFE and did real estate.
National Institute of Dramatic Arts. I just had to Google that really quickly. Right.
That's
okay.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's where Mel Gibson went to do his acting training. And I decided against it because I just didn't think I could make a career out of it. So, but I knew that I had to be studying. I didn't get into uni when I first left school, so I went to TAFE and did real estate and valuation. Got up in Sydney. And then I got accepted to go to University of Western Sydney to do a degree in property valuation. And I did that and I hated it and I never used it.
Why'd you hate it? Can I ask why you hate it, mate?
I didn't have a passion for it. It just didn't drive anything in me. And, you know, combine that with the late night work, all the travel, it nothing for me, man. Like, nothing at all. And that's when I had a long discussion with my mum and dad about it, and I pulled the plug and I worked in nightclubs for 10 years. And during that time, I did a couple of, you know, further TAFE courses in event management and hospitality, because I've never wanted to be stagnant. I've always wanted to be learning something. Even though I was working, I wanted to be like pursuing something. So that's where the event management part of the role came in. So they're already like leaving school within 5 years. It's been like three different roles and studying different stuff like that.
Yeah, gotcha. And you know, let's just talk about doing uni and doing work at the same time, because I think there's something into that. I've always been a big advocate of you know, very minimum doing as much work experience as possible, whether it's a day, a week, a month, you know, even a longer term opportunity if it's there. You know, I think that's really interesting if, you know, really trying to ignite that passion, if you're able to continue learning about it, both A, on the job, and then B, in some of those sort of more, you know, kind of schooling opportunities. Do you really think that was important in that stage?
Yeah, it was definitely important, and it helped out a lot. You know, when I was doing hospitality and event management, I was able to utilize the work I was doing in nightclubs to assist with these diplomas. When I was doing media communications and journalism, I was able to utilize the people I had at Win TV to help me get through this. You know, whether it be tough assignments on, you know, different media legislation that come out. I'd have the people there to help me because I was working and studying at the same time. It's definitely helpful if you're working within the same industry that you're studying.
And I think it fuels you know, what you were saying a little earlier around about being prepared, even in things like job interviews or starting a new job. You know, it gives you, if you're doing some schooling and studies and having a write about, you know, an event or whatever it is in the industry that your course is asking you, if you're actually also out there living it and working it, it gives you, of course, some tangible experience, right? It gives you insights, data, you know, reality and experience. So, of course, you're going to be able to, I guess, call bullshit on your own writing if what you're writing is wrong, or actually give you some, you know, some backing to that. So I think that's super key. And I think it's just like job interviewing or going for a new job. You can't really go in there and convey your, you know, best self in that position, in that opportunity, if you haven't actually experienced that company or that product as well. So, yeah, I really think that's a cool thing. And, you know, I guess starting out and getting experience as well is key within that. So, because after you've done your, you've done your studies, you've graduated, you know, we talked about the stats earlier, not everyone just walks straight into a job. If you're walking out with, hey, I've also been doing some work related to the field I've just, you know, graduated in, that must be a great head start, or at least a great talking point in those interviews.
Yeah, I mean, work experience can lead to a job. A lot of the times it does. You'll be lucky to find doing work experience and get paid for it. Like most of it's going to be unpaid and it sucks. It really does, but it's so beneficial, you know, to have it on your resume, to have it on your LinkedIn. They might even come back and say, oh, you know, you've done work experience with us now for a month. You've done really well. We've got a position opening up in a month. Finish your degree, come on in. We've got a new starter at Commission Factory. Mitch is absolute legend. He's kind of working under me and my coworker Isabella, doing sort of a lot of prospecting work. He actually did his first sales call the other day. He's doing absolutely brilliant. But what he did is he came and did a week with us in March last year. Fell straight into the culture of the work. Everyone loved him. Hard worker, switched on, young. He was finishing his degree though. He wasn't finishing till November. When he left, I was like, mate, I don't want you to go. Like, I want you to stay. He's like, oh, well, you know, I've got to go and finish the degree. He left and I spoke to my CEO and said, look, man, if you're going to get someone in the sales team, that's the kind of person that we want. Hardworking, dedicated, fun, loves to go for beers after work. And Zane offered him the job that afternoon. And January this year, he's walked back in the door, working full-time, moved to Sydney. And he's doing a phenomenal role. So even if it's a week of unpaid work experience, oh man, like it can do so much for you in 12 months time.
No, that's awesome, mate. And yeah, you're right. It may not put any money in your pocket for that week, but you get paid in experience, you get paid in opportunity and also exposure, right? So that's a great example, that guy to, you know, come in and spend some time with you guys and then end up with a proper job out of it. Saved him a heck of a lot of stress and anxiety and effort later, right? Because
absolutely. He was finishing uni and he knew that he had a job. He knew that in 6 months he'd be moving to Sydney. He made his plans. And then on the date, on like January the 20th, he rocked up to work and he's doing a great job, man. Even in these tough times, he's doing a brilliant job. So I fully recommend getting some sort of work experience because you never know where it'll lead you.
That's great, mate. Hey, I'm gonna jump right now into our student question of the week because I think it's a good one. It's from a student named Alyssa, and Alyssa asks, "What's the best advice you can give that will help you plan out a career rather than simply just working and keeping a job by working?"
Well, I mean, it's a good question. Like I never had a well planned out idea of what I wanted to do. I fell into everything as a process and am lucky enough to have landed in a role that I enjoy. People, you know, you talk about dream job and what would everyone's dream job be? And I still don't know the answer to that.
I think that's awesome.
What's most important to me is the environment that I'm in. And that's why working where I do is so important. I guess back to the student's question is like a lot of people know what they want to do. And it goes back to, you know, trying to get your foot in the door with any sort of like basic role, work experience role, making yourself familiar online within that sort of that market. Get yourself on LinkedIn, update it, join groups, talk to people, start conversations, do your resume, make calls, just send emails. And gradually, look, it's tedious. It's really tedious and it genuinely sucks. It can take 6 months before you get a bite back. But slowly, all this work is going to snowball and one day someone's going to say, hey, let's have a chat. You know, that's the way that I do it. And that's the kind of way that like it's worked out for me. I really hope that's answered her question to some extent.
I think it's a really good answer, mate. And I think, I think one thing in there that I'll chime in on is it is a process. And you're right, everyone's got a different process. And I don't think that's a problem. I think it's a necessity. But it is a process. And I think, don't be too stressed out if you don't know what that career will, entail. Because even someone that did say, I want to be a lawyer and then went on to be a lawyer would have discovered a stack of new things in between that and learned a whole bunch of stuff and done things that they never dreamt of even within that. So, yeah, really good answer, mate. And I hope that as well. I hope that answered Alyssa's question. Hey, thanks so much for your time, Grant. Really appreciate it.
It's all right, man. It's great to get on here. I know it's taken a month or two, but, I was super excited. I hope I answered all the questions, right?
I think there's some great advice in there. And, I wish you well. Stay sane, stay energized, and, thanks again.
Legend. Thanks so much, Dane.